Get ready for a transformation.
But in this kingdom, we start growing. We are replacing those carnal thoughts with the word of God. Our minds are renewed to the word of God. At that time, glory, glory, glory. So when we are speaking from knowledge. Or you wake up and say, hey, bonga fish and gari. Glory to God. I took it in the dream. I will never take it in life. In the name of Jesus.
Say, I'll never be poor.
Jesus Christ. Pay attention to everything I'm going to show you.
Another life-changing moment with Apostle Peters.
A child will have to be born first before he goes to begin to crawl and then begin to walk and then run like every other person. So when a Christian is born again, God expects that he grows. God doesn't want you to be at the same level. He expects that you grow. You see, spiritual things are more like physical things. In fact, the Bible shows that. So when you were born again, God expects that you grow from then on. You will have to grow because you're born into a particular kind of life and you have to grow in that life. So spiritual growth is very important. But then you have to understand there are keys, there are things that you must do deliberately if you want to grow spiritually. Why do you have to feed, or why does the mother have to put in so much effort in feeding that child, that little baby? That's simply because it needs food to grow physically, to be strong, to grow. And like I said on Thursday, balanced diet. So I want to give you the five keys to spiritual growth. Number one, promote the word of God above every other thing in your life. Promote the word of God above every other thing in your life. If you turn to Acts chapter number 20, verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. You see, the word of God is the food for your spirit man. It's the food for your spirit man. And so if you don't eat the food, how do you grow? You see, that's why you must promote the word of God above any other thing in your life. Colossians chapter number 3, verse 16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Richly in all wisdom. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In other words, be loaded with it. In all wisdom. Very important. Now, did you know that as a Christian, everything that you give your eyes to, your ears to, and your thinking to, should be something that the word, or has the word, to the highest level. This is what I mean. You're supposed to all the time study things, listen to things, look at things and watch things actually according to God's plan that are either the word or they are full of the word. For instance, if you're watching a movie, you should know that most of the movies that you watch should be Christian movies. And I don't mean just those Christians. I don't mean something that is called Christian movies, because some of them, they just call them Christian movies, but they are not Christian at all. Some of them will bring fear. Because you have to understand, it's human beings that act those movies, and they act based on their knowledge. So if they are ignorant, they put it together in a film, and you see that, and you watch ignorance, and you become ignorant too. You have to understand that. Okay, so I'm talking about some movies that will help your faith. Now, there's another side to that, because sometimes you can be watching something, but the state of your mind will determine what you get out of it. You see, if you're spiritual, when you watch things, you become more spiritual, because the way you interpret it is different. But for the fellow who is carnal and is full of carnality, when he's watching things, he's interpreting it differently. That's why your mind must be renewed. And that we just said, this is the solution, the word of God. You need to give attention to the word of God. You cannot grow spiritually without the word of God. Anywhere you travel, all over the world, no matter how anointed that man of God is, that teacher of the word is, he will tell you the same thing. You cannot truly grow without the word of God. And when I mean the word of God, I mean the accurate, adequate word of God. You know, you could be in the place and you listen again and again to the teachings from that man of God, and he may even be preaching from the Bible, but you're not growing, because there's something called the accurate, adequate, relevant information from the word of God. And that's what will make you grow. Now, we read in the book of Acts, chapter number 20, the 32nd verse, where it says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. So there's something called the word of his grace. Is that word of his grace that is able to build you up? Not just any word, the word of his grace. You see that? That's why you wonder, in the church, people have been there for a long time, but they are still babes. They are still babes. How do you know? Because the pastor himself is a babe. Gray hair with Tommy. This ministry started 25 years ago. He's very proud about it. And there's nothing wrong with that. And then some of the mamas and the papas that started, they were still there. They started together with him. Still there. They have their children now. Some of them still come there. And grandchildren, they still come there. And then, but they are all a bunch of babes. You understand? Little babes in the things of God. They just come to church for religion. You know, they come every Sunday. I must go to church. I don't miss church, which is very good. I have to go to church. It's our tradition in our home. We must go to church. But in reality, they are not growing. How can somebody be in a place for 25 years and yet something happens to you, you still have to call the pastor to help you out? That's been babyish. Almost 25 years. What in the world have you been learning? Is it the same word of God? Then you wonder somebody just, you know, get into the right atmosphere, the right word is coming. And in few months, he's already talking like a spiritual giant. Hallelujah. You see, it's not because the man of God, this man of God here now, wrote the Bible. No. It's just because he had been, you know, one time in one of the messages, I believe, building yourself in the word. I believe so, yeah. You can get that from the stand or from any of the platforms. Building yourself in the word is the title. And there I was telling you about, you just imagine me go to a place to preach. And they asked me to read the scripture such as, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They say, come and read it. You know, they'll tell, you know, usually they'll read that kind of thing and say, you have God, little children, and I've overcome them with the pastoral voice, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen.
How could you think that thing is just there for? How could you see such a thing and pretend you didn't see that?
Excuse me, listen, when you're reading the Bible, when you're studying, what goes through your mind? Do you take the word of God for what it is? The word of God is enough to keep you busy all your life, if you know what is there. From one beautiful truth to another, you just keep meditating and say, hey, you know, for instance, the Bible says that so many other things did Jesus that were not written in the book. So many other things. That if they were to be written, the books in the whole world would not suffice. If they were to be written. So he says, these ones were just written for us. The little ones that were written. So I always thought about it. What in the world was Jesus doing that the Bible says so many other things, miracles that he did that were not written. Such that if they were to be written, the books in the whole world will not be able to contain. What in the world was he doing? That man was full of the supernatural, boy. That's what it simply means. One time I was reading history about Jesus, and I was listening to the description of one of those that lived in his day of Jesus. Description of Jesus from that man. And the man said that Jesus himself is God. Now, not that he didn't quite believe in Jesus, but because of the kind of life he lived, that Jesus lived, he had to conclude. He said that man himself was God. Not because he was there and Jesus said, I'm God. But for him to have described him as God from just watching his ministry, his life was full of unending stream of the miraculous, of the supernatural. Think of you living your life like that every day. Every day. One day I meditated so much on the word of God as a student. I locked myself in and meditated. I was just at the table, just meditating. You know, those days where you didn't really have much as students. Then I had water on fire. I was trying to boil it for something. I believe I wanted to make a bar out of it. Now, that didn't mean that it was a real soup, okay? So I was so engrossed in what I was studying. I was meditating, actually. And then somebody called me, because now the stove was outside, somewhere around where we call the common room. That was where I placed the hot plates. So I had to plug it there, so it had to be there. And somebody called me and said, minister, like they would call me, minister. I said, what is it? He said, the water has been boiling. Oh, so I hurried out. So while I was trying to make things, you know, very fast, somehow, the water poured on my hands. Now, this water was boiling. Poured on my hand. And the fellow screamed, and I screamed too. Because I didn't know. Because I thought, But I noticed something. I'll never forget it. I noticed something. That when the water poured on my hand, I felt no harm. Don't you understand? Like it poured on my hand, and instead of, you know, how you feel, you know, all this kind of things. No such thing. It poured on my hand, and it became cool. I was shocked. Listen, I was just meditating on the word about the supernatural life. And I carried the same spirit. I came here, and this thing happened. What do you think? You believe more in what you just meditated. I couldn't forget it. I believe the Spirit of God was trying to teach me what you're studying in there, what you're meditating on is real. Some people don't know it's real. It is real. Otherwise, what you are doing is religion. Otherwise, God does not exist. And if he does at all, he is not who he says he is. That's what it would mean. If you can watch in your own videos and the rest of it, and you saw people demonstrate power, and then from one place to another, they disappear. Pyong. Meet themselves, they're somewhere else, power, and all of that are happening through the power of demons. What do you think of God? You see, the church has not started scratching the surface of what really belongs to us. Thank God we are beginning to do it. There's a lot that you need to know. There's a lot. I will leave that for another day. Glory to God. All right, so you see, the movie you watch, the songs you listen to, you want to grow spiritually and you're listening to the wrong songs, you will never grow spiritually. You just be going backwards. That's self-deception. You see, you can't want to grow and listen to the wrong songs, read the wrong magazines. Your life is full of news. What's in the news? Wrong stuff. And you are always there to read the news. How is this helping your life? Is there anything wrong with reading news? I didn't say so. I'm not saying so at all. But if you find out that you cannot not read this news, then something is wrong with you. Because those news will only drive fear. They won't bring faith. Have you ever read in the news and you read one big good news? And they say all the food, the prices of the food have now come down everywhere. You ever read something like that? It's always bad news. Is that what you're going to live your life on? They've really graduated in it. such that they will tell you a woman and a man fought and the wife break the head, breaking news, snake suddenly showed up in the WC in somebody's house, breaking news, and then your life is full of fear. You go to your toilet, you have to go with the light, you see everything because of what you read there. No faith, only fears. You can grow that way. There are messages that you need to listen to. Listen to messages. They'll build you. Listen to them. There are times that you are washing clothes or you are cooking. Worship songs. Messages. You could be listening. Let them be playing. Continually bombard your mind. You wash yourself off the dirt, the fear. Because those things are stained. They defy your mind. Do you understand? The opposite of fear is faith. So you cannot have fear and have faith at the same time. Because fear is negative faith. Opposite of faith. So you need to promote the word of God in your life. Deliberately. Give it attention. Give the word attention. You know what? Your flesh will try to call you and tell you, oh, no. I prefer to sit down here and just be watching this Titanic film. You know, a lot of them full of lies. So they make up for the guy very well. He will appear to be the finest in the world. You didn't know that's makeup, and you too, you're deceived. Because you give all your attention to it as a lady. And so you have your dream of what your guy should be. You're so carnal. And then they make up for the lady too. And you look at them and say, perfect love. Somebody sat somewhere, thought of something that would get your attention. Now, if he didn't do all those things, how would he get your attention? It won't. All those things must be in place to get your attention. And after that guy finished acting that part, all the bears that he kept for that movie, for him to look that way, for the makeup to be complete, he takes it off and continues his normal life. But he has acted something for you, and you thought that's how his life is. Woo-hoo! He may even have a problem with ladies, but you don't know. I will never be foolish in my life. You see, the word of God is the wisdom of God. It's the wisdom of God. So I have it inside. So I'm wise. You cannot live your life that way. You're a Christian. You're different. Number two, make prayer your lifestyle. You've got to make prayer your lifestyle. Luke chapter number 18, verse 1. I want you all to turn there. You found it? Read it for me. All right, Jesus was the one talking. The Bible says Jesus spake a parable to them unto this end. Now, what he said is not a parable. Now, he gave them a parable towards this truth. What's the truth? Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then as you read on, you see the parable. He gave the parable to illustrate that truth. Okay, now if Jesus is saying men ought always to pray and not to faint, that's Jesus, and whatever he says is from God. Don't forget that Jesus himself was full of prayer. I've studied about his life, and I still do. He prayed a lot. He withdrew himself from time to time just to be with the Lord, praying. And one occasion, he went to pray all night long. That ministered big to me the first time in my life that I found that. I said, somebody prayed all night long. Do you know what it means to pray all night long? All night long. He was praying. I was thinking, what was he saying? Jesus of Nazareth prayed all night long. Ah, he changed my life. And then I did it one time. Boy, I felt this thing is tough. And then afterwards, I've done it several times with the help of the Spirit. Prayed all night long. You can't pray such a prayer and remain the same. Do you understand? You can't. And this Jesus said, the right order of things is that men ought always to pray. Always means always, brother. Except you're deceiving yourself. The life of prayer will drive deep word of God that you have received. Some people don't keep the word of God. When they receive it, they don't keep it. Right there, touches their hearts. Oh God, help me do something about it. But because the guy doesn't maintain his prayer life, a good prayer life, after that time, he shakes it off. In fact, he doesn't even get to remember. Then one day again, situation comes again. I've been taught this thing before, I remember. Oh, why didn't I follow it? If you maintain a good prayer life, hey, the word of God will always be hovering over your spirit. Do you understand that construction? It will always be going around your spirit. There are times that you need it, it will come up. Boom. Prayer positions your spirit not only to be sensitive to hear God, but to be sensitive to know things supernaturally. You don't have to function in the prophetic ministry for you to know things around you. You don't have to. Just be full of prayer. It may not come as words. You know, some people are waiting for God to speak and say, my son, turn left. It may not. But you just know in your spirit that something is not right somewhere. I'm going this way. I'm disturbed. Then you turn. Then you find out later that thank God you didn't go that way. Now, some people have that. They don't pray often. They have that. But because you don't pray often, that's why it confuses you a lot of time. You're not sensitive enough to it. So you're confused. You can't just understand why this disturbance. So instead of you making the right choice or right step, you still miss it. Prayer would have deepened it. Prayer would have helped you be able to pick it exactly. Prayer will do a lot for you. A lot. Prayer is like the fuel for your spirit. Very important. So if you throw prayer away and you want to grow spiritually, because that prayer is needed for the word that you have received to continually move in your spirit. The reason why you may have encounter in dreams, in real life you made mouth and made mouth, but in dream they overcome you in that dream, is because you're not praying enough. Those are the things that you would have taken care of in your place of prayer, especially when you pray with tongues. I can't overemphasize that. I can't overemphasize praying with tongues. I wouldn't be here without it. I mean, now what do you want to say in your English? I can't overemphasize it. Somebody say, well, I don't believe in that. It doesn't matter what you believe or what you don't believe in it. Find out from those who are doing it and the benefit they are getting. You are the one losing. After all, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt. You don't have to. Do you know of any great man of God, very spiritual, at least in Nigeria, that does not pray with tongues? You don't know of any. If you think you know of one, he has not prayed in tongues before you before. That's why. He may even preach against it and say all these things that they call tongues. Don't mind him. The whole thing has taken over the whole church. Now, if he's a true man of God, I shouldn't say true man of God. If he's really anointed and spiritual, he will pray with tongues. I'm telling you. Except he's just a man of God that gathers you to talk. After talking, everybody's gone. No sign, no wonder. And what kind of ministry is that one? That's a motivational speaker, right? A motivational speaker does not need to speak with tongues. What do you think? He doesn't need. He already has all the string of words he will give you. They come. The gentle monkey, we always find the banana. Nonsense string of words.
Number three, embrace the life of fasting. Oh, you want to grow spiritually? Embrace the life of fasting. Second Corinthians chapter number 6, reading from the 4th verse into the 6th. Second Corinthians chapter 6, reading from the 4th verse into 6. It says, but in all things are proving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. Remember, or did you notice that it says, are proving ourselves as the ministers of God. Verse 5, in strifes and imprisonment, in tumult, in labor, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, and so on and so forth. If you study Matthew chapter number 6, verse 16, Matthew 6 verse 16. It says, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites. Did you notice it says, when ye fast? Not if you fast, when you do it. In other words, it's supposed to be a part of your life as a Christian. You need to set some time out where you fast. Even if it's once a week. Not because you want to ask God for something, but you just want to fellowship with Almighty God. Fasting is important. Don't throw it away. Some people cannot fast. It's trouble to them to fast. They can't fast. Why? Their body and their senses have become the lord of their lives. If the guy started out and say, I'm fasting now. By 10 o'clock, he's hungry. He says, I can't continue anymore. Don't you understand what it means to fast? To fast means that you are hungry and then you refuse to eat. That's what fasting is. If you're fasting and you're not hungry, then you're not fasting. Say, I'm now hungry, I have to break. What? That's fasting. Fasting means you tell your body, shut up. I'm not going to answer you. I'm not going to feed you one bit. I want to feed my spirit. And when you're fasting, it's a period of prayer. Because that fasting will not be genuine. There are those who fast because they want to lose weight. That's not fasting at all. They are not born again. They don't have to be born again. But fasting, according to the word of God, is that you give yourself unto prayer. That period you're fasting, you give yourself unto prayer and unto the word of God. So you're fasting, you're listening to messages, you're studying the word of God. If you have to be busy all through the day, keep your spirit right. Whatever you're doing at that time, and please, when you're fasting, don't go and pack out all the clothes in the house and begin to wash. That is deception. You're deceiving yourself. And then you want to while away time so that by the time you're done, he's six. You now go and break. No, you didn't fast, you waited. Don't do that. That's not fasting. Fasting is the deliberate disciplining of your body. You say you are going to hush. Your body keep quiet. I want to be on some spiritual exercises. And all that time your stomach could be singing, you say, that's good. It's an evidence I'm fasting. You do this. What will fasting do for you? It breaks the flesh. It breaks the flesh. If you're a young man or a young lady and you have problems with your flesh, maybe sexual, there are some people that are always disturbed by sexual urges. The secret, begin to fast more. Especially if you're a young minister, pastor, and you have to deal with people all the time, this is the secret. Fast more. And you're not married. Learn to fast more. That's how you break your flesh. You come to a point where the flesh will mean nothing to you anymore. You don't have to obey your flesh. Obeying it means you have become its slave. That's an insult. You change the order of things. Your flesh is supposed to be your slave. Anywhere you go, you carry it there. It shouldn't be the one carrying you. The real you is the one inside. That's the reason why you fast. I don't live a life that is not decent. I'm not a fool. There are some people that can woo every lady. Every lady around. Today they say, I love you, you know. I just love you. I think my heart is doing gish gish for you. And all that. So after for a while with that girl, they say, no, I'm not doing that anymore. The next
day again, they see another one. They say, you see, I just discovered that the Lord has been drawing me to you, drawing me to you. You see, your flesh is your master. How dare you? Why is the flesh throwing you like this, pushing you up and down? Why is your life like this? No, we don't behave that way. That's why fasting is important. It will put your body under. Because listen, if you let the body, it will destroy you. If you let your flesh, it will wreck you. By the time you wake up, what has happened to my life? You permitted the flesh so much. How dare you? How could you? Were you not watching you? Jesus said, watch and pray. What do you mean, watch and pray? Watch you. Watch you. The way you're going. And pray. All right, we're almost there now. Number four, never underestimate the power of fellowshipping with your brethren. Never underestimate the power of fellowshipping with your brethren. What does that mean? Attending services, meetings, programs in your church. I don't mean jumping around from one place to another. Have your church and make sure you participate. Now, why do I say have your church? There's a church that God has brought everyone. When you come into that place, you will know, because your spirit will click. God doesn't make mistake. When you come in there, you fit in. The moment you're there, you know, this is the place. Anything that will be coming from that altar will fit in perfectly with your spirit. I need more of this. You belong there. Stay there. Don't jump around. Don't live a confused life. And in that place, stay and grow. Grow. If you walk into a place and you notice that after you're done with that place, you're going out, you feel like jumping into the lagoon and drowning. A church, you don't belong there. That's not the word of God that was preached to you. It's something else. The word of God should show you, you cleanse you up, push springs in your steps, make you square your shoulders. Oh boy, I walk like a champion. Because that's what Jesus made us. So when you come together to fellowship with others, something happened to your spirit. For instance, if you were not here, how would you be hearing this? Some people underestimate fellowshipping with one another. You know, we go to church, it's just one of the religious things. I mean, are you going to church this Sunday? All right, let's go. So they go, wait for me, let's go together. He thinks it's religion. You're going to church, you should be excited in your spirit. An opportunity to grow again. An opportunity to fellowship again with one another. An opportunity to live with another residue of the anointing of God's manifest presence. You can't walk into this place and live and you remain the same. Never. You would have been enhanced in your life. Because we are not doing religion here. It's real. It's real. You would have been enhanced, motivated, inspired, charged. And then you have greater understanding of your journey in this Christian walk. That's why you should not underestimate. Do you go to? Are you going to church today? I don't feel like it. You don't feel like it. What in the world? Do you ever say, I don't feel like it when they ask you, are you going for the exam? You say, what kind of nonsense question is that one? How dare you be asking me that kind of question? Can you see? That's the exam of school, really. This one is the exam of life. If you miss this one, any exam you write in school will mean nothing. There are those who came out with their first class, but in life, they are in the level of D. Some of them F. In life, the only story they can tell you is, when I was in school, I used to be very intelligent. I came out with first class. They can even tell their children. See their life. Oh, they are telling their children. You see, I came out as your father. I did very well. I came out with first class. And then the children ought to look at the daddy and say, with all your first class, this is how you ended up. I don't think I want to follow this kind of life. The guy made it in school, but failed in life. Whereas there is this other guy who didn't know much while he was in school. Nobody to motivate him. Nobody to inspire him to study. So he didn't know much. Maybe probably he went into school as a kid. And so not matured yet. So when he went there, he was just playing and playing. Then he was just about to come out. Then he met God. And there's a man of God pumping the word into his spirit. He says, I can't change what I've done, but I can do something about my future. And that guy steps out with his so-called certificate that does not look good. But when he steps out, he steps into the realms of the first class. And those who piled up their first class in the school came and bowed at his feet. Because he had to employ them. Do you understand? Oh, say hallelujah. Glory to God. I'll never be a failure in my life. Finally. All right. I need to read the scripture to you there. Or you read it by yourself. Hebrews chapter number 10 verse 25. That first point. Okay. All right. You read that by yourself later on. It says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves. As the manner of some is, God is giving us the warning. You must not miss church services for anything. You shouldn't. If it concerns you, you have to be there. Those are the things that will build your life. What we are doing is not religion. Fifth point, which is the final one. Choose your friends and mind your company. Choose your friends and mind your company. If you put this to heart, you grow. It doesn't matter how much you enjoy the guy. It doesn't matter how you enjoy that company. Actually, it's your flesh that is enjoying it. You notice every time you people come together, it's nonsense talk. Talk that will not move you forward. Or when you come together, it's only arguments. Argument about some guys who are celebrities. About some guys who are up there. Some guys that you watch on TV. And these guys you're arguing over, don't even know you exist. How will you put yourself in this position of foolishness? No, I say it's this person that is better than this. This other one that is better than. You didn't see how he's gone. You see, you're just wasting life. The guy is making money. You're making nothing. Waste all energy. If you only use that period to sit down, listen to message, or study a portion of the Bible and meditate on that, you would have moved another step further in your life. There are some friends that no matter how much you want to grow, this guy is the devil. You are excited about your growth. Hey, thank God everything is getting better. But when this guy comes around again, it's like he comes to pour water. Every time you encounter him, the way he will leave you, you feel so, so down. Hey! Why? Because the guy is full of dirt. You understand? His mind is dirty, rubbish thoughts. And so every time he comes, he pours these thoughts on you. You have become his garbage ground where he dumps out his garbage. And you too, you receive it freely. You're listening to his nonsense. You're even laughing. This guy, you never change. You thought that, huh? Something is happening to you. What does the Bible say? He says, overcome evil with good. You have good. Overcome his own evil with your good. Talk the word of God to him. And tell the guy, the way you're going, this is not the way. He may even say, I'm a Christian. He may even go to church on Sundays. But he's full of junks. What a life. And you're fellowshipping with that person. You fellowship with Jesus and you fellowship with this guy or this girl. And all the time, this girl, you're seated together, she's so busy telling you about him. Did I tell you about that guy? He later came to me. Did I tell you about this? Nonsense. Or to tell him, stop. Tell her, stop. I don't belong in this group. Why? My destiny and yours are not the same. You may not have where you're going, but I have where I am going. You sit down with such a fellow, you don't have where you're going. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Reading from the 14th, from the 14th verse. All right, you found it, read it. Verse 15. This will be a message on its own. Some very big stuff there, but one day I'll talk to you about it. This is God giving the instruction, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. There are some unbelieving believers too around. Watch your company. Some people, not physically, but on social media, they have their company. You don't know that every time you fellowship with some friends on social media, you're actually in their company. Do you know that people can get demons just through social media? Of course, there are many who got demons through those things. You sit down there. They are my friends. Bunch of sinners. You read their posts, you see their pictures, you watch their videos. This is your own company. But this is a secret only to you and your phone. The Bible says when God comes, he will judge the secret of men. He will judge the secret of men. That's what the Bible says. Jesus will judge your secret life. The very things that you did in secret that nobody knew. He sees all of those. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And they say, oh, that brother is so spiritual. But in the corner of your room, you know what you're doing. Get out of that company. Those are not friends. Listen, when you go on Facebook, who did they tell you that you are hiding? They say a friend. So they understand what they are doing. So you're going to add this friend. And all the time he's going to be chatting nonsense. Do you know some people even go as far as, I heard something recently. You know, it's troubling. A dear lady came to me and said, there's this guy who met her on Facebook. And the guy was telling her to send her nudes and nude pictures on Facebook. What has this life turned into? And you know, foolish enough, some of them were sent to one fellow they'd never seen before. And you are a Christian with the Holy Ghost. You don't honor the Holy Spirit inside of you. Do you know the importance of your body to the Holy Spirit? Maybe one day I'll talk to you. There's a lot of things to teach you from the word. It's just for time. Do you know the importance of your body? Maybe you don't know. Your body is very important to the Holy Spirit. It's so important that he decides to dwell in it. Do you understand? That's his own temple. And that's why you're going to be judged for what you do in your body. Because that's the Holy, that's his headquarters. That's where he has chosen to tabernacle. That's where he's living right now. He functions from here. And then, what does the Bible say? If you defile his temple, it says you'll be destroyed. You see why you have to be careful in your life? And what is pushing you? Is this company that you have? Is this company? You meet this guy or this girl, and this thing is affecting you. Can't you see that you're only being a slave to your senses, your flesh? I want to read to you another portion of the Bible. Proverbs chapter number 13. From the 20th verse. It says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. In other words, the one that is found in the company of fools shall be destroyed. A companion of fools, always in their company, shall be destroyed. Chapter 15, same book. Chapter 15 now. Proverbs chapter number 15. Reading second verse. He want to tell you a little more about these fools. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Because you may be asking, who are these fools? He's telling you, this is one of the ways you know them. Foolishness comes out of the mouth of a fool. It doesn't matter if he's a friend, a cousin, somewhere on WhatsApp, anyway, foolishness will always come out. Things that are foolish will come out. Now, things that are foolish, not like 2 plus 2. Is it not one? No, not those kind of things. Foolish things. How does what does God mean by foolish things? Things that are unspiritual. They just come out. It's normal. Have you ever heard them? It's normal with them. How can you be like this as big as you are, no girlfriend? As far as God is concerned, foolishness. Who says you must have a girlfriend? Is that part of your destiny? Why the girlfriend? What's the relationship about? What's it leading to? No, I don't like all this kind of, you are just being religious. Huh? Study the Bible and you saw somewhere that one of the apostles or one of the Christians in the book of Acts had a girlfriend or a boyfriend. What kind of a Christian life are you living? Is it different from the same one that Christ has brought us? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? And the foolishness is just free. And they say it like, you know, it's Valentine. I was trying to get something for my girlfriend. And they say it really, really? I've been thinking of what I'll get for my home too. You know, all these kind of things. Company of fools. And for somebody who has wisdom, when you're standing there, it's irritating to you. See how they are celebrating foolishness. I mean, when that girl shows up with a bag and knocks on that your door, because now you live in town, you live by yourself, and you know this pride, and you open it and it comes in and somebody comes around. Is that she? He's the one. And then you feel so happy in all your foolishness, you know, so glad. And for the girl too, which is the head of the fools, it's true. Because you ought to know better. You should know that this guy wants nothing from you but your body. But you are not thinking. You see? So you can't think. Foolishness has blocked your eyes. So the guy is talking to you. And he is, you know, all the time he's saying, this air is beautiful. You feel like, are you serious? You don't understand all those language. Do you know the reason why I'm just following you this much? Because it's why. It's because I see the fear of God in you. Why? Trying to tease you. So you feel comfortable like, wow. A young lady once asked a guy whom they said they were dating. And asked the guy and says, will you marry me? And the guy says, if God says, why not? So she picks that and says, that means he's ready to marry me. How old? The guy is 19. I feel so sorry for you. The same chapter, Proverbs 15 now. The same chapter. Verse 14. I love this. Read it, everybody. Just read it. One, two, go. Did you see that one? Feeds on foolishness. Is it giving you some resume of a fool? Instruction. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 verse 22. We'll end off with this. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. It says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Abstain from it. Abstain. All appearance. You know, somebody just send you, maybe on social media, send you a friend request. Very handsome guy. You saw it and say, wow. And the guy sends you some message or wrote something ahead and says, please, I really love to be your friend. You're so gorgeous. You click it to accept. You were supposed to flee from such appearance. So no, we are just going to be friends. Somebody said, well, I will just preach the gospel to him. No, you can't do it. You know why? Because something that got your attention is your weakness. So there is every tendency that you may not be able to do it. You may not. You may be dragged into the mud. Do you understand? It's got something that weakens you, your flesh. And that's where it's starting from. You may not be able to do it. If you're ever going to lead that guy to Christ, then let it be with someone else monitoring. Except for that, you will not be able to do it. You're supposed to abstain from such. You're by yourself, and there's a lady by you, and then you're in the dark place, and you people are talking. What are you doing together with the lady in the dark place? Well, she's just a friend. A friend? And you know that this lady for a while now has always been around you. What are you supposed to do? Abstain. You are together there. Say, let's. Can we move from here? Move from there. Go to a place where others can see you. In the place that has light. You say, I don't want to feel. I don't want to be rude. Huh? With something that has to do with your life. How could that be rude? Hey, can we just move from here? How rude is that? Jesus wants us to sacrifice, but he never wants us to sacrifice our destiny. He never wants us to. You can go make yourself uncomfortable for someone else, but not at the expense of your destiny. She's touching your head, touching your back, and you say, I don't want to be rude. You don't like it, but you don't want to sound rude. At the expense of your destiny, bow your heads and pray to the Lord. He knows your heart. And he knows you. Just talk to him. Talk to him about your life. Talk to him about your life. If there's any area you want him to help you, talk to him now. Tell him that you want him to help you grow spiritually. Spiritual growth is so important. Talk to him. Sombra aktogishta paha. Talk to him about the weaknesses that you have. Talk to him about it. He knows that. Talk to him about it. Vibarando sobra ante. Zonde gista prahakte gusta bagahas. Lendo rosa prakte gusta bagahas.
This message was produced by Supernatural Kingdom Church. To get more of our messages, call 0806-0087-643 or 0816-0114-389. Thank you and God bless you.